Jacksonville, Florida. It's time for another Hour of Power with Apostle Kimberly Daniels. Get ready for a 60-minute experience that will change your life forever.
That because you have a following of 100,000, that it is of God. Just because you make people shout, it don't mean that the devil is coming out. And I want to be very clear, and I want to stay on track with the word of God. And I prayed and I asked the Lord to give me a word of fire tonight. Come on, put Holy Ghost fire on the screen. Matthew 24 and 12. And it says, here we go. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. All right? Put Matthew 24 and 12. You might want to study it in your free time. I want you to take this time, and I want everybody that's watching right now, you can participate in this message by sharing this post right now. When you share, you're spreading the gospel. We reach more people. So go ahead and share. Matthew 24 and 12. Put it on the screen. And because iniquity shall abound, the love, the agape of many shall wax cold. I got some attachments for that word iniquity. Now, iniquity, the Bible talks about how the iniquities of the forefathers went back three and four generations, but the blessings went forward for 1,000 generations. And I want to distinguish or draw a line between the word iniquity and sin. Now, sin is sin, but I want to talk about anomia, however you say, A-N-O-M-I-A, anomia, anomia. It's the Greek word for iniquity. It says anomia is abounding. Come on, put that on the screen. Anomia. It means illegality, a violation of the law through wickedness. Not just talking about falling short of the glory of God, making a mistake or erring to sin. It's talking about a violation of the laws of God through wickedness. Not just an infraction where you made a mistake, but it's not a person living without the law. People that are lost, don't know God, living without the law. But it's one who lives with the law, and his or her acts are contrary to the law. So we're not talking about people. There's some folk out there, they just worshiping the devil, living for the devil, and they have never gotten a revelation. They have never tasted of the gifts of God. But the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I'm telling you, there are some people who have never tasted of the goodness of God. But I want to tell you right now that there are some who have, and they're playing with that. They're not living without the law, but they live with the law, and their acts are still contrary to the law. See, you got to understand that where there is no law given, there is no trespass. You know, you can't stop me from speeding in a car 100 miles an hour if there's no guideline to say what speeding is. So where there is no law, there is no trespass. But anomia is to err against adopted, understood, but ignored law. Come on, somebody. Adopted, understood, but ignored law. In other words, I know to do right. The Bible says that it's a sin to know what to do, or to know to do right and to continue to do wrong. God bless you from Nigeria. I see somebody from Nigeria is on here. I know you understand iniquity, and where there's no law, there's no trespass. But anomia means to err against adopted, understood, and ignored law. How long will we ignore what we know is right there? You know, but You know, some scary words. You know, everybody, they talk about some curse words or some stuff they don't want to hear and save people. They can't stand to hear this. But you know what I can't stand to hear and don't want to ever hear? I never knew you. Talking about a curse word. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Are you worker of iniquity? Now, when we're talking about anomia, and we're talking about the violation of the law through wickedness, and we're talking about living with the law, but it operating in acts contrary to the law. And then you get down and you start talking about a worker of anomia, a worker of iniquity. And so I put that little attachment to, because I wanted to take some time to break down that says, because iniquity shall abound. So iniquity is bounding and growing and moving. It says, the love of many shall wax cold. And that word wax cold, if you have got my book Inside Out, it talks about the states of the mind. And one of the states of the mind is suko or psycho. And it means to breathe cold breath or to breathe cold, or a state of mind of being cold. Okay, that means to wax cold, to be hard-hearted. Okay, and so, okay, we went there with Matthew 24 and 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Hebrews 3 and 12, put it on the screen. It says, take heed therefore, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Okay, woo, we talk about evil for smoking dope, evil for prostituting, evil for, but this is talking about an evil heart. I want you to put it on the screen, of unbelief. In departing from the living God. Take heed, brother, lest there be in any of you, lest there be in any of us, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, I got my attachment B right here. I got to break this thing down. Evil heart of unbelief. So we're going to break down this Bible study, but this is something you're going to have to chew on like a cow chews a cud. And then you're going to go back and study some more. And God going to give you even more revelation. That word evil is poneros. Another word is poneria, which means wicked. You know, it means degenerate or to worsen. In other words, that word evil means evil that keeps getting worse. Evil that's not getting better. Derelict evil, viciously evil, mischievous evil, evil malice. It means literally evil from the devil. You can't get no more evil than from the God of evil, okay? So poneros, the Bible talks about spiritual wickedness in high places. That word is poneria. But poneria can rule over a person until they start operating in poneros, P-O-N-E-R-O-S. That is the Greek word for wicked hearted. All right. To be evil. That word heart, evil heart, is the Greek word cardia. And it means the seat of one's emotions. It means the constitution of who you really are. You know, as a man thinketh, so is he. You know, the mind is directly connected to the heart. And then it talks about an evil heart of unbelief. That word unbelief, I don't want to move too quick, but that word unbelief is apistia. A-P-I-S-T-I-A. Apistia, it means faithlessness. No faith. Come on, hit the hearts. Faith, it means disbelief. And it means to be disrespectful to what you ought to believe. Now, guess what? This is my definitions, okay? It means to be unfaithful, to be disobedient, to be untrustworthy, to be not worthy of confidence, and not a credible witness. So as I broke this word down in the Greek, an evil heart of unbelief, in Hebrews 3 and 12, it's a demonic, degenerated viciousness and wickedness rooted in a person's seat of their very own being, which makes them faithless, disrespectful, and not trustworthy of confidence as a credible witness of Christ. Come on, put your hands on your heart. You ain't got to be deep. You ain't got to be ordained to be a bishop, but you need to be a credible witness of Christ. Listen, the first thing the devil is going to say about you, if you're really saved, and she's supposed to be a woman of God. That's right, because a demon of darkness cannot define W-O-G. Woman of God, not even in your vocabulary. You wouldn't even understand it, you know. So when you start talking about being a credible witness for Christ, that don't mean we perfect. Listen, that don't mean that you got it all together. That don't mean that you know you don't make some mistakes, but it means that you simply not evil and wicked, because there are some people who are simply just evil and wicked. There are some folk that literally boast in not serving God. And guess what? We care, but we don't mind folk having, you can serve Beelzebub, you can serve whoever you want, but they have a problem with in America today. I'm talking about in this world today. They come all the way out of their dark realm over to where we are to talk about our God. Now, I'm telling y'all, that stuff is going to have to stop. We're going to have to stand our ground. We're going to have to draw the line and tell the devil, you know, to get back where he's supposed to be at, because there's too much disrespect of those from the dark side who got the nerve to come and critique. Devil, you don't have a right to critique the word of God. You a devil. Come on, somebody. Don't worry about what devils say. If the devil approve of you, if the devil appreciates you, if the devil, the Bible said, be careful when all men speak well of you. Listen, because when the rubber hits the road, when those devils go to bed at night, they thinking about you, because they saying, what is it that keeps that man going in the midst of all that's been happening? So let me go back to some more scriptures. Okay. 2 Peter 3:17. It says, ye therefore, beloved, okay, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Wow. Listen, first of all, put this on the screen. I do not entertain devils. Come on. Boy, my stepmama, she said, baby, why are you entertaining wickedness? Don't entertain darkness. I don't entertain. And ye, talking to you, therefore, beloved, talking to the beloved, you know, that's who Christ calls the church, the beloved. Seeing ye know these things before all this happened, beware lest you also, in other words, don't you point your finger at nobody, because if you don't get a grip on what you know before whatever's coming up, see, the enemy wants to send something your way to make you renounce God. Let me tell you something. Don't not renounce him. He wants you to doubt God. I remember, I never forget this. There was a person who was in a particular office, and this person didn't get the results that they wanted in a campaign. And I heard the person say, I'm through with all this Christian stuff. And where was God? Let me tell you something. Y'all know I put my brakes on. Because how many of you know Jesus is Lord? No matter what. Listen, I don't care what you believe in God for. The Bible says that there are some great men and women of God who died and never saw, never experienced, never tasted what they were believing God for. But guess what? The anointing and the power of faith still exists in the earth realm for us to believe God anyhow. Come on, put that on the screen. I'm going to believe God anyhow. 2 Peter 3:7. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest you also be being led away with the error of the wicked. and fall from your own steadfast. I mean, these folk were steadfast. These people were with God. I've seen some people that were sold out to God slip over. You know, I believe this, that the broad and the wide and the straight and the narrow are side by side. And if you're not careful, you could slip over. Uh-huh. Because the curses and the blessings, they rise side by side. If you're not careful, you can slip over and think you walking in the blessing and you're on the road of the curse. And you can tell when you're on the road of the curse because everybody's doing it. It's the broad and the wide. There's a lot of room to do whatever you want to do and say whatever you want to say. And I can be whatever. Don't matter how God created me. I can be whatever I feel like. I can wake up this morning and be whatever I feel like I want to be. Be very careful that you haven't slipped over. Y'all ain't hearing me. To the broad and the wide. And see, on the straight and the narrow, there's no room for that foolishness. Listen, even when I mess up, and I done messed up, even when I miss God, I can feel it. Because it's tight. Come on, put that on the screen. It's tight, but it's right. Even when I've messed up, if you fess up, you will be blessed up. And I'm not just trying to do a rap or sing a rhyme, but I'm telling you about the real tonight. Because there are some folk, they are miserable because one moment they up, the next minute they down, they wishy-washy, they have no stability. But your enemies are watching you to see how you acting when they feel like God has not done what he's supposed to do. But God is never too late. He's never too early. He's always right on time. I want to talk to somebody that's listening to me tonight, said that Jesus, I told you Sunday, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is not changing his mind and he ain't switching up. He is the same. He is the same. So check this out. Hebrews 6. Now, here we go now. You ain't gonna hear these scriptures. You know, I mean, you can hear them and people read them, but these are not, you know, popular everyday passages of scriptures. These are scriptures that make folk don't want to pay their tithe and folk getting offended, talking about you judging. No, we're not judging you. The word judge you and the word judge me. If the word can't judge you, you don't need to come to church. If you don't want the word to judge where you are, you might listen. You don't even need to share this post. You may go now, you know, but for those who have ears, who have an ooze to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and that the Spirit of the Lord is taking us to a new level in him. Hebrews 6:4-8. I ain't going to go nowhere until y'all put that on the screen. Come on. Hebrews 6:4-8. Read it in your free time. Go ahead and share this post right now and hit those hearts. If you're saying amen, go ahead and hit those hearts or those thumbs up right now. Give me a hug or something, right? Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 4-8, it says, "For it is impossible." Boy, when I got saved, I had to read this passage of scripture over and over and over again. "For it is impossible." All right? "For those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame." Yep, y'all go ahead and share this one. I know we just got rid of a lot of churchgoers right now. What do you mean? I mean, you know, God love everybody. He's a God of love. Yep, but he sure enough do not play. Just as sure as he created a heaven, he created a hell. Oh, they get. I heard one person in a profession. Oh, they're preaching about hell. Sit down somewhere. We've been preaching about hell long before you were born. We're going to preach heaven, hell. We're going to preach the full gospel. Sit down somewhere. We're going to preach the whole truth and nothing but the truth. All right. So this is saying it's impossible. It's not saying that God is not a God of grace and mercy and forgiveness. No, it is saying that there is a place that you can go too far and you can play with God. There is a word called reprobation. Come on, put that on the screen. Reprobate, being turned over to a reprobate mind. You know what? For anybody whose heart is open, God is already there. His hands are open. For God so loved the world. Boy, this is the gospel that we preach. But I'm telling you, you cannot delete the word reprobate. And so when those of us who have tasted of the heavenly gifts, who have been partakers of the Holy Ghost. Listen, there are people who have come to my church, falling out under the power, praying in tongues, getting bottles of oil, right now operating on the other side, believing in doctrines of devils. You know, they God, you can't help who you love. Okay, keep it up. If you ever tasted of the heavenly gifts, pastors, have been partake. I ain't saying we all, listen, I've been through a divorce. I can go through and tell you all the mistakes. I'm not preaching a perfect gospel, but I'm talking about the perfecting of the saints. If you've ever tasted of the heavenly gifts, you know, and now you preaching any way the wind blows, it's cool with me. Or if you've been made a partaker of the Holy Ghost for real, if you've ever really experienced God, if you've ever been touched by God for real. I believe that there's some people that really never, once you've been touched by God, listen, even I've seen people in the dope house. I went to get them out of the crack house. They'll hit dope and they can't even stay there because they've been touched by God, because they've tasted of the heavenly gift. They've been partakers of the Holy Ghost. They've tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. The Bible say, taste and see that the Lord is good. And once you taste the goodness of God, I don't care how far you get away from him. When you really get away from him, you long to be with him. There are people, y'all, this is a revelation, in hell right now. They wish, I mean, this is part of the good news. They wish that they had another chance. If you're sitting here listening to me and you're a preacher and you're playing with God, if I'm playing with God, if you a member, if whoever is, I'm telling you, a prostitute, a homosexual, somebody out on the street, they got a better chance of making it in than you do, than to come to church and play with God. No, being saved is not hard. Living out there without God is hard. Yeah, that's what it is. It says, and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. It says, if they shall fall away. We're talking about the great falling away. We're talking about the apostasy. The church of the apostasy. You know, the apostate church. Not the apostolic, you know, not the sent ones, but the ones who have fallen away. It say to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh every day and put him to open shame. In other words, it's like what Jesus did on the cross was not good enough. It says that when you continue to do what you do, knowing all that you've known, doing all that you've done in God, you put God on the cross, you crucify him over and over and over. Like when he died, it wasn't good enough. How many of you know that when Jesus died on the cross, when he went down to the grave, when he took the keys of hell, death, and the grave, it was good enough for me. It was good enough for you. And God, help me, Lord Jesus, that we can live lives. We're not perfect people, but we can't crucify him afresh. We can't keep taking him down and putting him up on the cross with our lifestyle, because when he said it is finished, it was done. And all of hell was trembling. I'm telling you, when Jesus died on the cross, hell was having a party, and hell is having a party right now. On Friday, hell was having a party. On Saturday, hell was having a party. But Sunday, Sunday, is coming. Every knee is going to bow. Every time. Yeah, well, we don't want to hear nothing from no holy roller. I'm telling you, you're going to remember the face of this holy roller. One day you're going to remember my face. And I'm telling you that the words that I speak, they're backed up by Holy Ghost fire. And if you are playing church, if you don't go to church, make you on the wrong, you on the wrong Facebook page right now. Go to another channel right now. Go switch, do something else. I'm talking to the believers. I'm talking to the preachers that don't want to hear what I got to say. I'm talking to the ones that don't even like me. I know you don't like the message I'm preaching because you don't like me. It's a shame that we in the house of God and we can't like each other. But I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to love you. And not only am I going to love you, I'm going to love you with a love that will love the hell out of you. And that's what we need. We need love that will break the barriers of hell, death, and the grave. You see, Galatians, the first chapter, verse 8 and 9, put that on the screen. And yeah, the Sunday is coming. Galatians, the first chapter, 8 and 9, read it in your free time. It says, anyone who preaches, yeah, you got these churches that their diversions, they break off, or, you know, they have other doctrines, and, you know, they don't like what the Bible is saying, so they're trying to create a new Bible. They want to take chapters out of the Bible, and they want to start churches and a church that accepts anybody and anything. That we accept anybody, but we're not going to call right wrong and wrong right. We're not going to call good evil and evil good. We're not going to do that. But Galatians, the first chapter, 8 and 9, says, anyone who preaches any other gospel unto you than what has already been preached unto you, let him be accursed. Anathema. A-N-A-T-H-E-M-A. Accursed. Not let him be cursed. Let him be accursed. Anathema. A-N-A-T-H-E-M-A. That's the Greek word. That means to be bound under a great curse. It means to be locked into a place of idolatry. It means to have the disfavor of Jehovah. There's another Greek word, anathematizo. Anathematizo is anathema with tizo, T-I-Z-O, at the end of it. And here, y'all ready for this? It means to be cursed with a curse. Good God Almighty. Now, let me tell you something. The blessings of the Lord will run you down and take you over. They are yea and amen, the promises of God. And I'm believing God for the blessings and the promises. And I don't want nothing to do with no curse. But the worst curse you can have is to be cursed with a curse. Come on, put that on the screen. Anathema tizo, to be cursed with a curse. That means dedicated and devoted unto destruction. Do y'all know that there's good and bad in the Bible? The good news got some stuff in it that if you're not walking right, it won't come out good for you. I'm trying to say this in as much love and the best way that I can. All right? You know, anathematizo, it means to be bound to a curse. Come on, here we go. Connected to a curse. You can't get loose from the curse because you connected to the curse. Somebody help me. It's when a sentence of a curse is pronounced upon you. You are sentenced. In other words, you're not just spiritually convicted. You can be convicted. You can be found guilty, but it means a spiritual sentencing. In other words, a sentence, a seal has been put on your head. You have been marked. As a matter of fact, you know, we're not all the way there, but the Bible tells us to mark them who are amongst us who ain't trying to live for God. They only come to pull people out. The Bible says that the wheat will grow up with the tares, and I'm telling you that we're living in a day and time where there's a separating of the sheep and the wolves and the wheat and the tares and the Anna the Matizo is being released because people have no respect. No respect. No respect of God. It means that something, anathema, is something dedicated to God has been taken, perverted, and used to destruction of the one who authored it. Amen. Wow. Dedicated. Dedicated. I'm giving you some examples of things dedicated. Y'all ready? Those who use prayers in a dark manner. Come on, that's the first thing. Dedicated. We're going back so we can talk about, what are we talking about? Something dedicated to God that has been perverted and used to the destructions of the ones who authored it. Those who use prayers in dark manners. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Taking the scriptures and putting them in your shoes and walking for 21 days. And, you know, I'm not saying that God won't tell you to do a prophetic act, but when you make a doctrine out of it, it's a doctrine of a devil. When you putting up somebody's picture in a glass and bury it in the ground to make him come back home, or y'all ain't hearing me. I'm telling you, there are some things that we need to simply just know that they are not of God. And those who use scriptures for sport and folly and foolishness, and those who mimic sacrifices, especially the blood, and those who manipulate the spirit realm in the name of other deities. And y'all know I can name them demons all day long. So I see when folk are, you know, on Facebook and I see them and they're calling out the names of these idol gods. And that's why they call me Demon Buster. I know that you're not serving the same God that we serve. And that's okay, but just don't come up in our churches playing, okay? They steal words from the spirit. That's what psychics do. You know, prophets have real words. And psychics, I believe they have information. Oh, that don't work. Oh, yes, it do work. People ain't spending their money for nothing, because a word can be stolen out of the spirit with information. And they can have details of false prophecies, but facts with no spirit equal death, and it will ricochet, boomerang, and come back on you. Facts without the spirit of God equal death. And so people can give you information, and she just talking. No, honey, I got people that I talk to on a daily basis that operate in the professional realm that tell me that they tired of waiting on God, and they use these words, I'm going to the dark side. You know, I try to convince them. I try to talk to them. You know, they're confident. And guess what? They get results. But those results are temporary. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed beg bread, a witch, a root doctor, or someone on the dark side. Surely, a psychic surely can give you correct information, but that don't mean it's right. I'm telling you, it's going to come back on you, because that word was brought, that information was brought by a demon, and that demon is going to owe. You'll be due something in the spirit. You have to pay. But when you go to Jesus and when you go to the prophets of God, that's why don't you let anybody prophesy over you. You don't need to be planting seed in everybody ministry. Don't be letting anybody. Y'all better hit them hearts, because y'all know I'm preaching the truth, and ain't nobody mad but the devil. And I know what I'm saying is right. Don't let anybody speak to you just because you need a word from the Lord. That's where relationship come in. And that's when you got to be able to get off with God and to draw from God for yourself. You know, guess what? When the preacher didn't say what you needed him to say, or when the prophet didn't call you out, you know, my God, that's when you got that still small voice on the inside of you. Even when you don't know what to do, guess what? You do nothing. Phobia, oh, you got on. Please don't let somebody come and say, oh, if you don't do this right now. No, that I can tell you right now, that ain't God. I can tell you right now, I ain't doing nothing. Because when I don't know what to do, the Bible says, hallelujah, after having done all to stand, you stand again. And you stand, so well, I've been standing, stand some more. Stand till you can't stand no more. I know that I'm speaking to the church. Don't fall prey to the great falling away. Don't be a part of the apostate church just because they have a good choir. Don't be a part of the apostate church just because the pastor got swag. Don't be a part of the apostate church just because, you know, they're they got all these fancy things that they can say and make you feel good. This message tonight, it shouldn't make you feel good. Right now, we need to fall on our faces. And don't feel good, feel God. I don't want to feel good. I want to feel God. And guess what? I pray in the name of Jesus that as this word go forth, it don't go forth judging nobody and criticizing nobody, but I speak what thus saith the Lord tonight. It's time for me. It's time for you. It's time for us. It's time for the church at large around the world. Share this message. It's time for us to stand. And guess what? When things don't work out like we think that, then stand some more and keep professing and keep proclaiming. It's time for us to be activated, to receive impartation. You know, holiness means something. Holiness, oh, don't nobody talk about holiness no more. Oh, you supposed to look holy. Listen, there's some folk that look holy, but they ho-ish. That ain't got, your look ain't got nothing to do. You know, as you in God, when you a woman of God, or when you a man of God, you know, there's something about the way you present yourself. You ain't trying to have your cleavage hanging out. You know, and I know young, when I was young, I did my thing. But I'm talking to the saints. You know, I'm not talking to the kinks and the ain'ts, and I'm just saying unto you that the apostasy is real. There's a great falling away, and falling away don't mean falling down. People that are standing up, they have fallen away. They have veered off. They are off track. They're saying stuff in pulpits, and y'all act like y'all don't hear them. They're saying stuff preachers shouldn't be saying. I ain't trying to be funny. But preachers shouldn't be struggling with their sexuality in the pulpit. If you're struggling with your sexuality, sit down somewhere. You know, guess what? You're going to always be a preacher. I'm always there for you. But there's no way I'm going to get up in the pulpit and speak things that'll make folk be comfortable in stuff that they shouldn't be comfortable in. God bless you. I'm praying for you. There were times in my ministry when I was going through something, and whatever I was going through that was between me and God, I sat down. There's not enough of us sitting down. I sat down and I let the other ministers minister till I felt like I got myself together. If you struggling that hard, don't be releasing that spirit on other folk. I rebuke that. I ain't rebuking you. I rebuke that. And I pray that there'll be somebody in your life that will rebuke you. God, help our souls. That's why the church has become a mockery. That's why people from these other agendas, they feel like they can just come into our areas of operation and say and do. But I'm telling you, the judgment of God is coming against those who touch the anointed. But we better be sure that we don't get sucked in. I don't want my enemies to be judged. And because I've fallen into the game with them, I'm judged with them. Lord, have mercy on our souls. God bless us. Those who steal words out the spirit with information and details of false prophecies. Oh, this is a hard word, but it's tight, but it's right tonight. Yes, it is. And guess what? We praying for me. God, it's me standing in the need. I'm not pointing my finger at you. But I'm saying, where is the standard? The enemy has come in like a flood, but God raises the standard. When the enemy come in, the standard is not lowered. God raises the standard. It's time for the standard to be raised. God, help us. Some folk that think it's funny, they think they can play with God and they can mock God. But the worst thing you can do is mock him from the pulpit. The worst thing you can do is hold that Bible in your hand and lead others and have no fear of God and live like we want to live and do like we want to do and say whatever we want to say. That ain't happening in the day that we're living in right now. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." Having a form of godliness. Everything on the outside. A form means on the outside. You know, everything on the outside looks like God. But ain't nobody getting healed. Nobody's getting delivered. Where are the signs? Where are the wonders? Where are the miracles? Where is the God of Elijah? The mantles are falling. Are we ready to receive them? There was a prerequisite. You had to walk close to the man or walk close to the woman of God. When a man fell, you had to be in a place to get it. Mantles are falling. Where is the God of Elijah? The Bible says that from all that I just named, turn away. Hebrews 10 and 26 says, "For if we sin willfully, we have received knowledge of the truth, and we have received knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for our sins." Verse 28 says, "He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." God help us. We don't want to die without mercy. 2 Peter 2 and 20 says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ," 2 Peter 2:20, put it on the screen, "they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." You know what? This kept coming to me. I saw G-O-D, and you turn it backwards, it's D-O-G. It's either G-O-D or D-O-G. It says for a person, it's better for you to have never. Now, y'all know that I didn't just make this up. This is in the word. And it may not be popular, but I'm going to preach it. Better that you had never been known the way of righteousness, and having known the holy commandments and turned away from it. It says that the latter end will be worse than the beginning. The Bible says when an unclean spirit leaves out of a man, nobody don't want to talk about demons. Nobody don't want to talk about the devil. And people are worshiping him every day. People living for him every day. People giving homage to him every day. People need deliverance. I don't care what you call it. You call it your habit. You call it your bondage. You call it whatever you want. But the Bible calls it the demonic. And it says when an unclean spirit leaves out of a man. Now, that's what the Bible talk about. It says that spirit, when it leaves out of a man, it goes about seeking dry places. And when it can't find none, it says that demon come back to, it says, my house. In other words, whatever you've been delivered from, it always considers you as belonging to him. My house, coming back to my house. And then it says that when that house is swept clean and garnished, It says that the state of the man is seven times worse than before. That number seven must mean something. 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What you think is an agenda is a doctrine of a devil. What you think is a group is a seducing spirit. Oh, that's just what they, no, that's something. A seducing spirit, let me give you my definition I put. It's the art of enticing or temptation that removes a person away from the right path through flattery, falsehood, bribery, or other ways to turn them into strays. All right? In other words, they don't belong nowhere. There's no demilitarized zone and you belong somewhere and, oh, I don't want to serve God. Now I ain't, so, oh yeah, you either serving God or you're serving the devil. You just don't, you may seem like you don't belong somewhere, but it's called a spiritual stray. Doctrine of devils is a blatant counterfeit set of beliefs that creates systems and forms agendas with the most dangerous thing that exists in the world today. Put this on the screen. Part truth. Part truth is when you got a part of the truth, it's the worst thing you can have. It's kind of like a lie. Oh my God. The gray area, the lukewarm, teaching between the lines so that you don't hurt nobody's feelings and you don't offend nobody. You know, falling away from faith by falling into heretical beliefs or heresy. And you know, I want to close out because we're running out of time. It's not Sunday. I know y'all got to go to work tomorrow. I know y'all got to go to work. But I got several scripture references for our offense. Put the word offense. That's what the Bible says. Many will fall away. And that literally means many people will be offended. Why will they fall away? Is because they have been offended. Be very careful of what offends you and makes you fall away. Can I preach the truth? Can I preach the gospel? Can I just preach the word? Not worrying about what the world thinks about it. You know, the word is one place in the world. The word and the world don't go together. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so there's several words. I'm just going to give you scripture references. And there's three. I got so many Greek words down here. But I got Matthew 5:29. Read it in your free time. Talks about offense. Matthew 13:41. Mark 9:43. 1 Corinthians 8:13. Come on, just write these scriptures down. 2 Corinthians 11:29. 1 Peter 2:8. Galatians 5:11. Philippians 1:10. Romans 4:25. Romans 5:16. James 2:10. James 3:2. Those are scripture references that you can study in your free time since it's Bible study. But there's three words on offense that I want to give you. The one is from James 3:2. And that word is, I'm going to say it best I can, patayo. P-T-A-H-Y-O. P-T-A-H, patayo, that's a Greek word. It means to trip and err, to offend with moral significance. Patayo. And I believe that's reference to James 3:2. Now, here we go. There's two words I want you to remember when it comes to offense, and that's scandalizo and scandalon. Real important. real important, Scandalizo, S-K-A-N-D-A-L-I-Z-O. Scandalizo, and then Scandalon, S-K-A-N-D-A-L-O-N. So Scandalizo, I'm going to go put Scandalizo on the screen. I'm going to say what it means, to be offended, to fall away. And basically Scandalizo, S-K-A-N-D-A-L-I-Z-O, it's more of an act. It means to entrap, to trip, to scandalize, to make stumble. It makes to offend by placing an impediment in the way. You know, in the early times of the Bible, people didn't ask if you were a Christian. They say, do you know the way? So if you know the way, you need to walk that way. Because scandalizo will place impediments in the way to make one fall. They don't fall down, but they fall away. They seem to be standing, but in the spirit, they have no feet and they trip and fall. While men think they're doing okay and they're all right, they're enticed by a spirit called enticer, E-N-T-I-C-E-R. This is a demon from the pit of hell called enticer. And it causes a person to distrust what he should trust. And they begin to call right wrong and wrong right. They become a deserter from the truth and cursed to have no judgment and no discernment. They become sons and daughters of Belial, and they become annoyed and indignant against the true word of God. Okay, Scandalon, and I'm closing with this, y'all. S-K-A-N-D-A-L-O-N, this Bible study on Wednesday night. We're talking about, Lord help me, Scandalon. This are things that offend. It means to give an occasion or a reason to stumble or be offended. It means sometimes the hindrance can be, here we go, in self-good or to be fleshly religious. Galatians 5 and 13 say, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. In other words, you so free, you bound. You too free. You know, it's okay to be free, but you can't be totally free from the dictates and the mandates of the word of God. This word scandalon, it means to some, the truth becomes an offensive, stumbling block. Have y'all been blessed? I don't even know what time it is. I know it's about time for me to stop. About time for me to thank you, Lord Jesus. I appreciate y'all coming on for Bible study tonight. Can we just make some confessions right now? I just need some folks. Thank y'all for participating. Thank you for making the comments. Thank you for hitting those hearts. I appreciate you. Y'all know this is gonna be a chapter in the book. Yep. This is gonna be a chapter in the book, but let's touch and agree. Can you, if you're around someone, touch their hands, touch my hand in the spirit. Y'all know we don't do a lot of that right now with this pandemic that's going on, but I know God is delivering us and taking us into our next phase and our next level. Father, we just bless you and glorify you. We thank you for every person that's on this live, that attended this Bible study. God, this word, I pray that it was delivered with meekness, and I humble myself under your mighty hand, God. And I say that before I release it, I submit to every word that I've spoken and let it hit my spirit first. Let it hit me first. God, I pray for those who are offended. I pray for those who have slipped, for those who have tripped. God, a righteous man will fall down seven times, but he'll get up every time. And I pray that the words that I've spoken tonight will deliver the offended, that they will not be offended to falling away. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you that we will not be a part of the apostasy. God, we will not be a part of the great falling away. Folk are falling away, starting their own doctrines, mixed with devils. And God, I thank you that when our heart ain't right, our words won't be right. God, I thank you that you're getting down in the cardia tonight. You're getting down in the deep-seated parts of our emotions. God, delivering us from our wills, our intellects, and our emotions, not our will, but your will be done. God, I thank you that we can receive the truth in love tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray that this word will go forth with power, that it will go forth with fire. God, anoint our ears, anoint our ears, anoint our natural ears, anoint our spiritual ears, God, that we will endure sound doctrine and not have itching ears. God, let us have ouses to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And God, let us not have ozens to hear just for the benefits of what we can get out of it. God, I thank you that you're delivering us from the apostasia, from the great falling away, from the epistemy. In the name of Jesus, we will not stand aloof. We, God, deliver those from the spirits of instigating and instituting revolutions against the truth, from those who will not only draw away but will pull others with them. And God, I thank you that even as iniquity is bounding and many hearts are waxing cold, and God, there are evil hearts of unbelief, we bind the illegality, we bind the violations of the law, and we say that we will live with the law in our hearts and be obedient to the truth of the law. God, we love the law. God, I thank you that we love your word. We'll not be antagonistic, and we will not be opposers of the truth in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that you are delivering us from anomia. You're delivering us from iniquity. God, we never want to hear the words that you never knew us and that we are workers of iniquity. We renounce the works of iniquity. In the name of Jesus, we renounce that which will cause our hearts to wax cold in the name of Jesus. And God, I just thank you that we will not be led away by the error of the wicked, and we will not fall from our steadfastness and the work that you begun in us. God, we thank you that you will finish. We thank you for the finished work of Christ in our lives. And God, we renounce every evil heart of unbelief, the poneros, the car.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's show. To contact Apostle Kimberly Daniels at Spoken Word Ministries, you can call her at 904-237-9363. Services are Sundays at 12 noon or Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Or you can be her friend on Facebook by logging in at State Representative Kimberly Daniels. Don't forget to like and follow. And join us again next Sunday evening at 6 here on Praise 107.9.